everyone, and welcome back to the Walking Dead series by The Verdict Sin. I'm your host, Nicole.
I'm Gary.
And today we are talking about Fear the Walking Dead, Season 3, Episode 5, entitled Burning in Water, Drowning in Flame. It's written by Suzanne Heathcote, who has worked on Fear in the past, and directed by Daniel Statham, who's worked on Intruders, 113 Sins, and Scream the TV series.
Okay.
All right, Gary, we watched this episode twice now. What did you think?
I think they're staying consistent. It was another good episode. Learned a little more about the walkers, the different walkers. We got the jail walkers.
The prison walkers,
yeah. The prison walkers, the one that catching bow and arrows, trying to catch them with their hands.
Right.
It was a good episode.
A few episodes ago, you said that Fear has the best walkers. And
correct.
I don't know if I agreed at that time, but I definitely agree now that these walkers, the way they have them acting, it is very cool. I don't even know if they acted like this ever in even season one of Walking Dead, where Walking Dead had a different executive producer or whatever showrunner, where the walkers were a little bit smarter. Remember when Morgan's wife was trying to turn the doorknob and stuff like that?
Right.
But these walkers here, as you said, we had to rewind it. We're like, wait, did that prison walker just try to catch the bow and arrow while it was coming to his eye?
And, yeah, catch the arrow.
You know, there's definitely some advancements as far as the walkers here go. And I do enjoy it. I will say that I very much enjoy it. All right, so the way the podcast works, if it's your first time listening, is we do likes or dislikes, and then we have any listener letters, and then award and prediction. Just remind you, our email is dead@theverdictsin.com, or you can also hit us up on Twitter @theverdictsin or facebook.com/verdictsin. And make sure you're following us on social media. That's where we post any updates or any notices there, usually right away if we find out something. And then we do an award and prediction. I don't know if I said that part. All right, so first on the likes list is the opening scene, seeing the husband like waking up to his walker wife and showing that, you know, her teeth were out, because when he hugged her and she started like chomping down on him, I at first was like, wait a minute, he's taking this like a G, like he's not screaming or anything.
Yeah, he's letting her bite him.
Yeah. And then it shows, no, she took her teeth out, which like reminds me of my dear grandma, and that's like so real. And then like him killing himself pretty much to be with her, and we saw how deep their love was like last week or 2 weeks ago when they were dancing, and just, you know, they're able to dance with each other during the apocalypse. You know you're in love. So what'd you think?
He was prepared for this moment. He already had the gun down. We saw later on in a scene that he kept the gun over the door, so he had it down waiting for this moment. Either him, it's probably a plan with both of them. Like, if I die, then here, use this on me. And if you die, I'll do the same for you.
Right.
That's love.
Is it? Is it, though? I mean, it is love, but I don't know.
You have to think about it like this. This is not a world that you want to live without the person you love.
Yeah. Like, it's like, why be in this world alone, pretty much? Yeah.
Pretty much.
Okay. I mean, I love that scene.
I don't want to be in a world with strangers.
Right.
I mean, then, I will, but
especially when it's like
I don't want to.
The world is horrible. It's not like everything's all good and everyone's all friendly. It's a horrible world. So, yeah. All right. Alicia partying so hard that she missed the events that took place, like the fire and everything like that. Like, I just love
seeing her. She's partying to 3 a.m.
I know. I love seeing her have a hangover the next day. Like, they made her look like crap. She still looked pretty, but they made her look like crap.
Sorry, not partying. She's having a Bible study to 3 a.m.
Right. I like that. And then next is even Alicia realizing things don't go back to how they used to be. Like when she's talking to Jake and she's like, I had all these plans. You remember, she was about to go off to college. She was a straight A student.
Right.
She had a lot of plans to, you know, I was going to say leave the small city, but they were in L.A. But she, who knows where she was going to go to school. And she probably had goals and her, you know, her life already planned out the next 10 years. So her realizing, okay, this is not something that's just temporary. This is, you know, the world's never going to be the same, regardless if we get to change it now. Like, too much shit's happened. I've killed someone.
Yeah. Which I appreciate her still thinking about that. Still thinking about, damn, I killed somebody. How can I go back to living a normal life? And then all the other people that killed someone. It'll be hard to bring this world back, no matter if they come up with a cure, a shot, or wipe out all the not walkers, but what do they call them?
Wasted.
The wasted. The Rogue still never go back to how it was.
Yeah, but I hope she doesn't turn to kill Chris, because they kind of, even Bob on The Walking Dead kind of discussed that with Rick when he said, just imagine this world is like a nightmare. You know, but you're going to wake up from this nightmare eventually. And when you do, you're going to have to remember all the horrible shit you did. So don't go too far gone to where, you know, it's the end of Lord of Flies and you realize, okay, we've gotten rescued, but look at all this horrible shit we've done.
I can't see her being Killer Chris. I think Killer Chris was always Killer Chris. He was Killer Chris when he was young, killing cats and dogs and stuff.
No, he wasn't. Did they ever give us that backstory?
I gave it to you.
I'm starting to wonder if Killer Chris is coming back, though. Something about his death just didn't sit right with me. Maybe because it was in a flashback. All right, next is Alicia and Jake hooking up. I think we all saw that coming. I don't know. I don't think it's like a love connection based on how she left the next morning or left right after it happened. But I don't know. It's good to find love in a horrible place, I guess.
I don't have anything to say about it.
All right. And I guess that answered Jerry's question as far as like child molestation and what's the proper age. And
right.
Either Madison doesn't know or doesn't care, or Alicia's grown now. She was 17. She might be 18 now.
Well, Madison did tell him to fit in.
Right.
Try to learn his family. So I think Alicia got a heads up on everybody.
Madison's getting close to one son. Alicia's getting close to the other. All right. The prison zombie fight. Supposedly it was less than a minute because they timed it. But what did you think of this fight? Did you think it was pretty badass?
I thought it was badass. We saw zombies up there doing like crazy stuff. Like I said, I saw one catch an arrow, or try to catch an arrow. The other one, you know, tried to reach it. You know, I guess they thought they were prison guards or something, because I saw one of them try to fight him for the gun. Try to escape all over again. And yeah. We saw Maggie handle herself.
Yeah. I liked it that the prison, the walkers, or the wasted, like the way they grab at people, like Walking Dead walkers, their hands are stretched out when they grab at you. So it's kind of like a scratch, you know, like just like, it's not like they can bend their fingers, like their knuckles and stuff like that. Whereas these walkers feel like they can make their hand into a fist if they wanted to.
They can. You know,
because the way they grab at you, it's more like they're bending those fingers more. Like they have more control over their fingers.
These walkers are swinging at you, ducking from your punches.
I loved it. I love this scene. All right, Strand and Daniel fussing, and then it looked like someone, like we liked it because they were fussing each other about going or not going, and it looked like someone was looking at them, and then it looked like someone even, or it sounded like someone took a shot at them, and then the next, so like it ended with it sounding like a shot was ticking at them, and then to the next scene.
Yeah, it was just jumping to the next scene, but that was a nice scene.
Right, and it kind of left us wondering like, wait, did something happen? We're like, nah, because they would have showed it.
I'm tired of Strand. Strand is lying and lying and lying for no reason. You know, if we had a most likely to get their ass kicked, you know, Strand would be the number one person.
Yeah.
He'd be my number one choice.
Which I want to know now, what happened at the hotel? Like, why was it overrun with walkers? Is it somebody probably got sick, died in the middle of the night, and then just caused a chain reaction?
I'm thinking people just rushed the gate.
Eventually. Yeah. So Madison's pretty much to blame.
Pretty much.
Turned on the lights, left, and then now some shit has popped up. Okay.
We seen all the people at the gate at the beginning of the episode where Strand said he was a doctor. People were still trying to get in, trying to break the gate down. That's the only reasonable explanation right now. They pull up, the gate is gone.
But I thought they let those people in.
Yeah, they let those people in.
Oh, you were saying more people came after the fact.
I'm pretty sure they did.
Okay. Next is Jeremiah. Jeremiah and Nick had a long conversation. They talked a lot this episode. But in particular, I liked when Jeremiah pretty much told Nick that it'd be nice if the dead were their only enemy. And I kind of thought of like real life situations. It seems like people really pull together when there's like a terrorist attack or something like that. And, you know, people of all cultures and religions and class and ethnicities can come together and, you know, work together. And sometimes you think, okay, finally, like something horrible has brought people together. But then like a week or two goes by and things are back to normal. Whereas that's kind of what I thought of Jeremiah. Like, yeah, it'd be nice if this all brought us together. And maybe for a moment, it kind of was like, okay, here we are. Let's get together. These are walkers. But once they learn how to fight the walkers, it's back to you're my enemy, you're my enemy, you're my enemy. And it's not just the walkers are their enemies.
Right. It's even more deeper now. Because now it's about territory. It's about food, water. Everyone has to be for themselves right now. Because if you don't, you're going to be left out. You're going to be hungry. We see in The Walking Dead, and I had to go, you know, jump to The Walking Dead, that now they're scavenging. They're all over the place. They're going far out trying to get food. And they went miles. Who was that? Not Tara. Tara?
Yeah, Tara and Heath.
And Heath went miles, and there was nothing else to scavenge in that area. So people are trying to claim these items or claim territories early now because they know what's going to happen. We all know what's going to happen. We all know when there's something going on, about to be a snowstorm, a blizzard. You go to the grocery store, there's no bread or milk.
Right.
So picture a terrorist attack. We know that, you know, people are going for the bread and milk and it's not going to be restocked. So you got to get what you can get.
All right. The next on the list like is Jeremiah telling Nick the reason why or how he decided to stop drinking was because he almost shot his dick off. And if true that story. Didn't scare you straight, yeah. I don't know what does, but that scared him straight.
That's believable.
And I liked it because he's like, you know, I didn't stop for my sons or anything else. I stopped because I almost shot my dick off. And it was like, well, and I
an eye-opening moment.
An eye-opening moment, definitely. But I also kind of wonder, like, Nick, we can't forget that Nick does have a drug problem. And I'm guessing his drug may be alcohol. It hasn't really touched that much on alcohol. But do you think that problem is now officially over? Or do you think it'll be something that's going to come back later?
Hold up. You said Nick's choice of drugs is alcohol?
No. I was saying he has a drug problem, but I'm guessing since he has a drug problem, he may also have an alcohol problem. I don't know if the two go hand in hand, or is it possible to have a drug problem but not have an alcohol problem?
Okay. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I guess sometimes they will go hand in hand, but I hope they touch back on it. I hope he gets in a situation where we see him fighting, you know, fighting with himself like, nah, don't start this again. I'm stronger than this.
Right.
And fail.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want him to fail, but it's kind of like just a part of life.
It's good for TV.
Yeah, it's good for TV. I'm thinking of like Charlie on Lost. You know, he was on an island and he had a drug problem. And he somehow found drugs. So it'd be cool to see Nick, you know, struggle with it just at least one more time. All right, so I think we found the big bad. I thought the big bad was going to be Troy, and he probably still is. And I hate to say these people are the big bad, but we get some people who are trying to make them leave the ranch, and they're killers. They like tortured that man that was sitting in the chair, like cut a piece of his brain out, but kept him alive type of thing.
Right.
So I think they're going to be the big bad. We don't have a name yet for them, but are they supposed to be like Native American and they're saying that's their original ranch, like that's their property?
Correct.
So do you think this is a fight that was going on right before the apocalypse happened? Or do you think this is something where they're like, well, 50 years ago, this was technically our land?
No, this has been going on. Because okay. When they're flying the planes, they wanted to hit the lights. This fight has been going on for a while. They knew who was shooting at them.
Okay.
And we can't call this group killers. How you said, they're killers.
Right.
Because the group Maddie's with, they're killers also.
That's true.
And they went looking for them to kill them.
And that might be why, when Alicia said, why would someone do that? Jake said, it doesn't matter. Like, because he knows that someone did it because it's not.
There's a reason behind it.
But then, okay, going even back further, like, if this is their land, in the video that Jeremiah did, it was like 20-something years ago. So, like, is this a fight that's been going on for a long-ass time?
Could have been.
And I'm not saying it's not possible. Like, there's people fighting for their rightful land now that's been going on. So I'm not trying to, like, downplay it. But I just kind of want to get... I hope we get more backstory as far as, like, how this situation arose.
The only thing I didn't like about the scene, or like about the story, not the scene per se, but the storyline, as Jake put it, you know, it was the four founders and the guy who died in the house. He was one of the founders and this. And, you know, I think that storyline is getting old. That most storylines, that four horsemen, the founding four, that storyline is getting played out to me.
Okay. I was okay with it because it was just a small part, but I get what you mean.
And if their group took that whole land, it wasn't just four of them.
And then how did Jeremiah end up now being like the sole owner or whatever?
I don't think he's the sole owner because they still, even the girls, when they were having a little Bible study, they were saying that, you know, his parents were one of the founders and our parents is like just a big bloodline. You know, all of them, not all of them related, but all of them are related to one of the founders.
So with the people that we met, maybe it's possible what David was saying last week as far as, you know, this ranch being all white. There is possibility that there is some type of racist stuff going on because they may have stole the land from the Native Americans.
Well, not may have. They said they stole the land.
Oh, they said they stole the land? Who said?
When Jake was telling the story.
Oh, Jake actually said we stole the land from someone?
Right.
I missed that.
He said, yeah, when he was talking about the founding four fathers of the land.
Oh, I thought he just meant like they found it, like they found that spot.
No. He don't mean they just went there and said, oh, I found a spot.
Yeah, like I found the spot.
They took it.
My claim. Okay. All right. So we'll see what happens there. And hopefully Alicia and Madison chooses the right side and... You know, we'll see where that goes.
In the story, they were saying that people have been doing this for years. This is the American way. Go in and take something. It's, I guess, conquer that land. So what they did is they pushed the Native Americans out of it. And they took over it. Built a gate up because when the guy, unknown name guy, the Indian guy, mm-hmm. or I'm sorry, the Native American, he said, yeah, we want that ranch back. This is all our land.
Okay. I think I'm going to like it then, because it's possible that before the apocalypse happened, they were fighting them the legal way, like maybe trying to go through court or trying to find paperwork to show, hey, this is our land, because they may just not have the right paperwork. But now that shit, the law's gone, the law is whatever they say the law is, they're going to get that land back no matter how they need to do it by any means necessary. So I think I'm going to like that in... It's not a storyline what I would have ever even thought of or considered, but yeah, I kind of feel that way now. Like the apocalypse, like if the apocalypse were to happen, people that have been not getting the justice they deserve, seeing how they would react now, like the people that are more privileged probably wouldn't be so privileged anymore.
I agree, but that depends on where they're at. Because if I was privileged and I had money and I see this going down, I'm catching the first flight to another country, to an island. I'm going to Nectar Island. That's where I'm going.
Well, there's, you know, there's people that underprivileged people everywhere. And I just like think of places where there's protests a lot. And like, I could just only imagine if there was no law and it was the end of the world, what would stop them from, okay, like taking matters into their own hands?
I believe they will.
So I think I'm going to like this story.
You got to think about it. And I know this is going way off topic. Well, let's say you're privileged, like there's a neighborhood across from us where they have guards at the neighborhood. And like you asked the other day, is there security? Do you think they roll around in the neighborhood just to make sure or to keep the people safe? And if some real stuff go down, the security, they're not going to keep working.
Yeah.
They're out of here. Yeah. Those people have to fend for themselves. So I can't see the underprivileged going to take over privileged lands.
Right.
And so on, so forth.
I like it. I'll see. We'll see what's going to happen with this storyline and where it's going to go. All right. Daniel leaving Strand. It was like, to me, it was kind of fucked up because he's like, see if you can find your way out of this one. Like, he was done with it. But I don't know. What do you think? Do you think Strand's going to be able to get out?
I think so. It looks like he got out.
Yeah, but on foot, how far is he going to be able to go?
He has a long walk ahead of him, and I'm pretty sure he'll find someone else to con. But the thing about Strand is, it didn't have to go this far. He could have told him all the truth. Why would you want to go back to the hotel? There was a chance that someone was going to be there and be like, hold up, we kicked you out.
Yeah, Phileas been gone. Like,
you knew she was gone. She was gone while you was here.
Right. He's a liar. And we told you if you came back, we'd kill you. Now you're dead. Boom. You know? Yeah, I don't get why he took him back.
So Strand held up that lie for no reason. He could have told him, hey, Ophelia was here. Maddie and them, they were here. They're all gone now.
Maybe if someone was looking at Strand and Daniel earlier like we thought, it's possible either Strand or Daniel were run into them on the way back out. If, you know, if they're being watched like we thought they were.
I just think it was good camera play. Okay. I just think it was just a good scene. Other than that, you know, I hope Strand gets what he deserves.
Is death? Is that what you mean?
Maybe. I mean, you don't play with too many people's lives. Period.
Well, actually, that brings it to, that's our last like, and actually our only dislike, unless you have one to add. And the only thing I wrote down was Strand still lying to Daniel. Like, why not tell him all of this before they left? So yeah, that actually ended up being a dislike, yeah.
It's a huge dislike.
And to me, it wasn't necessarily a show dislike, it was a character. Like, come on, Strand, like, why are you...
It was a waste of time.
Yeah.
And right now, there's not a lot of time to waste. In fact, time is all you have.
Especially when you're looking for a loved one.
Right. You need to do something with it. You need to find the person you're trying to find. You need to try to find safety. There's a lot of things you'd be doing at time, not backtracking. He led him on a wild goose chase. And he deserves to, I don't want to say die, but maybe get roughed up a little bit.
Not only that, remember when he was telling Strand, Lula or Lala, they left there with the water, that like, hey, we shouldn't leave her alone. And Daniel's like, it's okay, it's only gonna be 24 hours. But now it was a waste of 24 hours if Daniel decides to go back, because he might feel like, okay, now I need to go back and check in, make sure everything's good there. Or do I go and look for my daughter who's been out in the world all by herself for who knows how long now? So I can see him being real pissed off, and I guess I can't really blame him for leaving Strand. Like, you lie too much. I can't trust you. What if you, like, we drive back together? What if you decide just to hit me upside my head and leave me or whatever?
And why wait to get there to tell the truth?
Right.
Why wait to drive through the gate, drive up to the hotel, walk to the lobby, wait till the walkers start coming. I'm sorry. The wasters start coming. And then you want to tell the truth.
It was like he did it because he had no other choice, no other options. All right. So that's all we got. Only one dislike again. That's pretty good.
Well, that's two dislikes. I said dislike while we were doing our likes.
Okay.
The four founders.
Oh, yeah.
The four horsemen.
Yeah.
Our founding four. I go on and on with the four.
All right. So we have an Twitter comment from David. And he wrote, this show keeps getting better and better. The Walking Dead is too cartoony and honestly is becoming stale. Fear the Walking Dead feels real, and I'm hooked. So thanks, David.
And I somewhat agree with David. I mean, the walkers here are amazing, and it seems realer. It do. The Walking Dead still seems, I guess, comic bookish. I love it, though, but it still has that comic book feel. Like, you know, we had the garbage people.
Right. I mean,
you know, we have the group of ladies, nothing but ladies. Oh, there were some young guys there.
Kids, you talking about Oceanside?
Oceanside, yeah. The kids, but yeah, the groups are still kind of seeing like comic bookish, you know, the
not real people,
right? Like characters.
Yeah, I'm liking the groups of people we see here. I mean, because they all seem real, whether you like them or not. Like there are Troys in the world, there are Jeremiahs in the world, there are Nicks in the world, there's our Alicias, there are Madison. Like all of them still seem real. Whether you like them or not, they seem like, yeah, there's someone like that out in the world. Like, it's not far-fetched, like, as you mentioned, the trash people on The Walking Dead. Like, okay. Like, and there might be them, too, but, like, a whole group of them just chilling. So, yeah, I agree. I'm liking it, especially The Wasted, and I like the Wasted, too. So, it's all different and all new. Thank you for writing in, David.
Thanks, David.
And then we have an email from Gloria, and this is actually before this week's episode, but after last week. And she would go, "Hi, guys, I'm not a big fan of Fear, but the story about Daniel was a good one. From that being, it showed that Daniel was some kind of feelingless person, except to his family. He seemed like a trained killer back then." So I'm sorry, she's saying from the beginning, it showed that Daniel was some kind of, like, he didn't have strong feelings. He wasn't really, like, let me take care of you type of thing.
He was an emotional person.
Yeah, and it was always just only about his family. Remember when Travis and they're like, let us in. At first, he's like, nah. Like, you know, he's the type that, like, mind his own business and we're going to survive because we're not going to talk to other people.
Right.
And in a way, I think his plan does work, as you saw that he needed help because his wife got hurt. So I understand keeping the group small, but you can't just isolate yourself from everyone. And then sure, yes, the subtitles was interesting. I really didn't pay attention either because I watch almost everything that way. She's talking about it being in Spanish last week. Yeah, and maybe that's why it didn't bother me as much as well, because we watch everything with subtitles if we can.
Yeah. And then we watch a lot of foreign films.
Yeah. Yeah. When that guy told Daniel, the good news was he had water and could give it to him, but the bad news was he had to walk to get it. She liked that. And then, great job, guys. I love your casting. Next week should be interesting. Thanks. So thanks, Gloria. We appreciate you writing in.
Thank you.
And that is all we have. So now on to our favorite part. I ain't fearing shit and most likely to die. Gary, who do you got for I ain't fearing shit this week?
It's almost a tie for me. But like you said, there's a difference between not fearing shit and being just stupid. Mm-hmm. And Strand, obviously, you know, he was a fearing shit when he kept leading Daniel.
On a bogus.
Yeah, to the hotel on a bogus trip, knowing everything could happen.
Right.
But, you know, the more I think about it, it's probably being stupid. So I had to give it to Alicia.
Okay, what does she do?
You know, just having a Bible study at 3 a.m.
Just all hours of the night.
All hours of the night, just praising Jesus.
Yeah, I like when Jake was like, I think he read her Bible verse. He's like, oh, yeah, you might know this based on all the studying you're doing. But he he realizes she's not studying.
She's having church all time of the night.
Yeah. But it's the apocalypse. Why not? Like, I love seeing that. Like, people party all the time now and they know they got to go to work the next day. Like, this is apocalypse. She can wake up whenever she feel like it. So, yeah. I'm going to give I Ain't Fearing Shit, though, to Madison. Like, she went with Troy's crazy ass, and she went and she was fighting those walkers, and she almost died, but she never, like, I love how they have her strong. She in The Walking Dead, I don't think they really have that many, like, girls, like, crying and stuff like that. Like, that's what I've been doing. Well, actually, I wouldn't have even been there. I would have never volunteered. But she, like, she, you know, her fighting two walkers at a time, and then, of course, that guy helped, and he saved her, and just... She's not fearing shit. I still personally do not like her character. I just don't like her. But I love that she's so strong, like, and she talks shit. Like, even if she doesn't even know the person, she still just talks back to them.
Yeah, her character is not very likable.
Yeah, and maybe that's why. Maybe I don't like her because her character is not likable, but she's very strong.
Right.
And at the same time, I don't know if TV thinks that a strong woman has to be... Like, that's the only way they can make a strong character for a woman, is that she has to be hard and cold and mean?
I don't think so. This has always been her character. Okay. Remember, this is what we talked about in season 1. The way she act. The way she just act like she didn't really care about anything or anybody but herself and maybe Nick. I mean, she always had this attitude or this persona about herself. But it wasn't because she was real hard. This is just her character. This is just her.
Yeah, and actually I was going to excuse myself anyways, because I would say that Alicia is a strong character, but she's not just mean and hard and, like, I don't know, she seems to care about people, you know. She thought she was mad at Nick, and then when it came down to it, she went and helped Nick, and, you know, she
right
kind of fussed at Jake this week, but then she went and apologized because she realized she was wrong. So I think I like Alicia's character a little bit more. It's a little bit more just... It's more likable than Madison. Madison just seems like, you come up to her and you say hi, she's gonna be like, "What are you saying hi to me for? Like, what do you like?" You know, like, she would say something rude back.
Well, she probably won't say nothing rude. She probably just have her nose stuck in the air.
Yeah. All right. Most likely to die next week, and I didn't see the previews, or if I did, I don't remember what I saw.
I'm going with Strand.
Okay.
He's gonna go to the next group, try to con him. Get beat to death.
Yeah, he's not a good con artist.
He's a very good con artist. And you know how I know he's a very good con artist? Because we know he can't fight.
Oh, yeah.
He has made it this far in this world without being able to fight. Because every scene we see him in that he's fighting, you know, he's just getting his ass beat.
Right.
So you have to be a very good con artist just to survive just this long in your life.
You're right. No, you're right. All right. My most likely die, I don't know the guy's name, but the one that was talking junk to Alicia that said, you know, like, you got to hold your own and blah, blah, blah. And then later on, he's like, I changed my mind what I said. Like, you're awesome or whatever. I have a feeling he's going to die.
You think they try to build him back up a little bit?
Yeah, they gave him a couple of lines.
Try to get
him
back in our good grace.
Yeah, and I just have a feeling. I mean, now that he's like big and like seems strong, so why not take out someone that seems so strong?
Right.
So I have a feeling he's going to die.
One thing I noticed about the fear is that we don't have a group. In The Walking Dead, we have a group. We know Rick's group is our group. And this show is, right now, it's just a show to us. It's a damn good show, but, I mean, you really don't know. I mean, we love Alicia, but you really don't know who to root for. You don't know if you want to go with Team Daniel, Team Strand. And I guess it's just because they split the group up, so you have those options. Or you want to go with Team Maggie, or some people are probably praying that Travis still alive.
No, Travis is not still alive. Yeah, we don't. Yeah, you're right. We don't have a core group. I mean, if you count the, you know, Madison's family, there's three of them, and that's it. Luciana left, which I should have added that as a like. I knew she was gonna leave when Nick made that place up and we brought her there. He's like, yeah, you know, I can sand it down a little more. Could be a home. The look on her eyes was like, okay, you were never gonna leave. I'm out of here.
Right.
And I'm glad she did. I'm so glad she left. Because right. If you don't feel comfortable there, I don't see how Nick and them feel comfortable already. They just, like, were torturing you guys the day before, you know? So, yeah, I'll add that to a like.
I guess they realize there's nowhere else to go.
But nowhere. There is. There's the rest of the world.
I mean, there is, but you have to find that place.
Then go find it. There's the rest of the world.
Do you know how hard it is to find the place? You had to go through land occupied by people. You can't trust people anymore.
Yeah.
Or lands occupied by walkers. You know you can't trust a walker, especially a fear walker. Fear walker can trip you up.
Right.
Tackle you at the legs.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is all we have. We would love to hear from you guys next week. dead@theverdictsin.com or on Twitter @theverdictsin. Twitter @theverdictsin. And then facebook.com/verdictsin. And also be sure to leave a rating and review on iTunes. That helps us out a lot. There are a lot of Walking Dead podcasts. Probably not as many fear podcasts, but there's still a lot of those as well. And then you can also subscribe, I believe, on our website to get updates whenever podcasts come out besides The Walking Dead. So usually we do try to promote a show. So this week I will promote our Atlanta podcast that we did over the summer maybe last year, maybe the fall, whenever it was. Atlanta was a new show that came on FX. We covered it on our Verdicts In feed. So definitely find that either on our website or just type in the Verdicts In on wherever you find your podcast. And you can look through and find our recaps on Atlanta. All right. Until next week, I'm Nicole.
I'm Gary.
Bye.
Bye.